Hi, you guys. I'm here with Sylvie Ivanova. She's a YouTuber. She's got a YouTube channel called New Earth. Don't you actually have two YouTube channels?
I've got a couple of them in case they bring down one of them, which is happening more and more often. I've got three or four. So, like, just in case, you know.
Okay, what, so there's New Earth, that's the one I'm most familiar with. And then I saw
The others are also New Earth in other languages, or something New Earth, ancient histories, something. But the main channel is only one.
Okay, cool. And she's a YouTuber, but she does a lot of, or she has in the past, and a lot of like expeditions and like you know, ancient history research. And then now she's been really into prophecies, and you know, like how to prepare for if our one world criminal syndicate takes us all down, like how to prepare for that. So she's got some really cool stuff. So welcome aboard, Sylvie. What do you think is really going on here with this whole control system? What do you think is really going on?
I think this is a black magic takeover on a planetary scale. And for now, as prophesized, it is going actually very well according to their plan of these evil forces which overtake the Earth. And that's how I see it going on. And unfortunately, I think the development will go in the direction of the prophecies. They will harvest rich crop. Most of the people, unfortunately, I think, will follow them, especially when they create the next world war, and then they will become peacekeepers, and then people will worship them as, or more precisely, the devil, who will reveal his incarnation then. He will be famous as peacekeeper, and people will believe him, and guess where he will lead them. I see that is what is going on. That's
so
how I see things.
I found you from Starforts, and then I found I also like really enjoyed your expedition series. And there's the Domus Dejanus. I don't know how you say that in
Domus Dejanus, yeah.
The little fairy gnome houses, or how, which translates to like fairy of the house. Like you went and did a lot of those on Sardinia. And I really liked some of your episodes where you were talking about how basically we really could have been before what we are now. Like this could have been run by like other creatures, like fairies, or like animal people. Like that's depicted a bunch of places, you know, like half lion, half man, half snake, half like where do you think all of that kind of fits into, I don't know, like our control systems and all that?
Which control system more precisely?
Well, okay, like where do you think that okay, before some of the megalithics, like do you think like they were built by other kinds of beings besides us?
I think the history is way more rich with much more variables than we think. There were of course giants. Even until recently, actually, we have even some photos of quite big people. Most definitely, there were dwarves, and still there are some dwarfish tribes, but there were surely much more of them. Even in the medieval artifacts like beds and stuff, people were shorter also. So there was everything, and what most people call aliens or fairies, there was everything. And also, after, you know, I've been away from the historic research since the pandemic nonsense started, but I've been into other type of research, and that gave me the opportunity to look into the historic stuff like from a bit of a distance and think more about the big picture. And as to sum up, probably the way things were for 1,000 years, I tried to sum up in the Survivors series, which is some 30, 40 episodes. And before that, there is very good chance that even the time was flowing different. Possibly our very human species was also different. There are some true things in the Bible. I'm not also, although I'm not Christian, like, for example, that the Earth is very young. I also noticed a few things from geology, although I was that was not the aim of my expeditions, but I really believe the current phase of the Earth is very, very young also.
So how young? Because I have some, I have a lot of different friends that go a lot. Of, I mean, some are, or I have one friend who doesn't think anything before, you can't trust anything before 1700. He's like, it's 300 years old. We're 300 years old. We've been reset 300 years ago. That's it. So, I mean, like how new or old do you really think this is?
There could have been a reset a couple of 100 years ago, like because I traveled a lot and I lived in different places, like where I am, I returned here after 15 years. And when I look through the windows, when I see the mountains and the hill in front of my house, it is visibly that these trees, they just, even the entire mountain, which is completely wild, they're just bigger, you know, and everything. And at the previous place, also the people told me that the greenery, only now it got a chance to grow so much. Before, something was there. Of course, these examples are not very shocking, but in the survivors, there are some more, like some photographs that make it more obvious that there were big regions where we don't know what was there to 300 years ago. So possibly many regions are 200-300 years old.
I mean, I'm from New Mexico, and like there's this like lava valley. It's called the Valley of Fire that I used to have to drive through to get to my grandma's house on the way to my grandma's. And when I was a kid, when we would stop off, it was like a black lava flow. Like there was, it was just there was no plants growing on it. It was just like the lava, that's it. And then I went this last year, like I went like a year ago, and there was all kinds of vegetation all over it. Like you could see the lava underneath it, but it's completely grown up now. And this was supposed to be a lava flow that was millions of years ago. So it's just kind of, I see that kind of what you're talking about. I can see that within my own life. Even White Sands, New Mexico, I used to go there as a kid, and it was just like milk sea dunes of just pure white sand only, and now there's so much vegetation all over it. So yeah, I sometimes question the processes and how they really know the dates of things.
Yes, and when I started traveling, and when I noticed also major discrepancies in geology, I also started noticing something else, and that I saw in various nature reserves or places which have never had a village or ruin there, really wild places, not just one. The fertile soil is a very, very thin layer. And if it was really like this for, as they say, many hundreds and thousands and even millions of years, undisturbed nature, it should have had a few meters of this rich black soil, you know, from the plants when they naturally decomposed. If it was only one place, okay, maybe there was a forgotten field or something, but this is the rule, and it is all over natural places all over the world.
Yeah,
this is the rule. Yeah.
I mean, that's what I've really gotten into. I don't know if you've gone down the rabbit hole of the Terra Preta thing, you know, where it's like there seems to be a layer of, in a lot of places, like there seems to be a layer of engineered soil, and that there's like biochar, and you know, like it's mixed to a certain consistency that, and like that, like the Amazon rainforest may or may not be completely planted on Terra Preta, which is, there's a lot of implications if that ends up ever being true. I mean, history is very much hidden from us. It's really just insane. I watched a bunch of your cart rut, like whatever we want to call them. And I found it interesting that a lot of them like went over the Domus Dejanus, like the little fairy homes. And I look at that and I'm just going, what made it? Just none of it really makes sense. I don't understand. I mean, and I'm very interested in the megalithic stuff, because we can't do that now. I think I'm with you on that. Something else was here for sure and worked in a way that we don't understand.
Yeah, in terms of the big picture, I see one tendency in the alternative research. I also did it in the beginning when I started the research, and I think Many of the young people who try, they are a bit having this pitfall that when they see something, that they always, they don't understand. Like when you said engineered soil, we are all engineered by the angels and God ultimately. All, and when they see something engineered, immediately they think of aliens or some suppressed technology or previous developed to our standard civilization, which is part of the picture for sure. But they, for example, don't count factors like something very major I discovered. Well, I had a suspicion even before that actually stones are growing. Then the origin of stone is not what we are told. When I, this is something which I haven't had yet time to publish from the expeditions. I noticed it by chance at various locations. And how they grow and they form structures like living creatures. And I see very often the young researchers, when they see intelligent structures, immediately they think, oh, this is a bone of a giant, without considering that they're, and they show some patterns within the stone, which are really organic patterns. Actually, the stone was growing, but they're so hastily make these conclusions that they don't see that there are too many mountains and you need too many millions of giants to be tightly packed, like too many billions. They wouldn't have been so much place for them to live. Yeah? They don't get born, you know, in half square meter and they live packed all their lives. So when... sometimes they hastily do conclusions which are too much influenced by the current paradigm.
Yeah, I actually studied geology in college for about 3 years before I became an art history major. And I just could not get behind dating and aging. And then like, how do you know that carbon dies in half-lives, that like, how do you know it's this, like the way that we come to the conclusions of what we come to is really flawed, and the way that they give you the answer for it, it's not satiating. It doesn't explain anything. Like, we're to believe that all rock essentially is from our magma, like lava core, you know, and which is supposedly iron, but I mean, so there's just like molten lava underneath us, and then it spews out the rock, and then depending upon the temperature and the rate at which it cools determines what chemical properties it ends up having. And it just, like, none of it really makes sense. And then there's crystals which grow, like, I dig for crystals all the time. I go to Arkansas and I dig for them, and like, it's so bizarre how they have their own life. They're like a plant. They literally grow, and they continue to grow if their conditions are right. Like, they're not done growing. Like, they, you know, like, look at caves with stalagmites and stalactites, and there is like a living rock. And so quartz, which is a crystal, is bizarrely found as like a compository mineral within a lot of like for instance, rose granite. If you go all over Egypt or something, rose granite is got at least 13% quartz crystal, like the white little flecks in it are going to be quartz crystal. Well, I'm like, how are you going to riddle me that just, like, which is a silicate, like, how's that just going to randomly in the crucibles of the earth get mixed like a cookie dough batter and then form into this thing? It doesn't make sense. Like, the conventional, how we think mountains were formed, how we think land came to be, like when we go like, oh, well, this is an igneous rock, this is a sedimentary rock, it's there. But when you go down to the base roots of those definitions, they end up all being magma core thing. And it just, for me, has never been, that doesn't explain anything. It doesn't, it's not, I don't know. It doesn't really work for me, especially considering the amount of elements that we have that are supposed to be from the same like stem cell, or, you know, like the same root thing, of the thing that it's coming out of. So I'm with you in that. I feel, I don't know. A lot of times I don't like the word, you know, simulation, because it's like, I don't think it's a computer game per se, but engineered in that, or, you know, we're in some kind of creation, I feel like, for sure. Yeah.
Magical one.
Yeah. I do think there's a lot of, and I mean, I went to Columbia in 2020 And I think people have seen this on my channel or whatever. And I don't care if people think I'm crazy. They can think I'm crazy. I don't care. But I saw a unicorn in real life. Like, it pushed me on the shoulder. I looked over and it was a horse that had a horn. Like, I don't know what else you call that. Looks like, I mean, it looks like a white horse with a big horn in the middle of its forehead. It wasn't sleeping. It wasn't on drugs. It was just right there. And I had two other people with me. We all three sat there and looked at it and watched it eat grass. I believe that we are in a realm or a dimensional, like, I think that there's layers of other things like on top of us, and that sometimes there's times or places where there's bleed through. So I think there's a lot of hidden things that we can't even perceive. And I sometimes wonder why we can't perceive them. So I don't know how you feel about all that. I noticed you had a bunch of different prophecies from a bunch of different people. Like, how much of it do you believe versus you just are taking note of?
Well, according to the prophets themselves, not everything is fixed in stone. Mm-hmm. I think, at least 60% of what they say will happen. There is some variation, but the main things will happen. My feeling is about 60% of the exact scenario will happen, but the meaning will be 100% the same. Mm. Who will believe the devil and who will not?
What about, so, okay, with like, and what do you, what's your version of the devil?
I think the devil will come in an incarnation, exactly as described by many prophets. He must be born already because, as some of his colleagues already say, they're just waiting for him to come out of the shadow, the big peacekeeper. They are already calling him a big peacekeeper. Yeah.
Mm. And do you think that we're going to have, like, okay, solar flash or like a pole shift or like some sort of completely where the geology or the actual land itself changes?
There will be, but surely when the new world starts, there will be different seasons, different sky, different planetary bodies around. Yeah, that will be there. But most likely this type of drastic changes will be seen maybe in around a decade. I don't think earlier than 2030 we'll see this drastic stuff. But this is not the main thing. The main thing is for each person, the state of his consciousness. Also, I have good reasons to believe in timelines. It's mm-hmm. So we are discussing these pole shifts, but where will you, or you know, every person who is listening, where will he will be at that point? That is, I think, much more important, because I believe the pole shift and everything will be for the future beautiful Earth to be in more balanced state of energies. But what's the use when the people who follow the devil, his followers, they will have no entry there. They will see from their miserable place how the godly people enjoy here. So it won't be in their benefit. So I'm not very far. I do not advise to concentrate on is the comet coming or not. It's not important if I die or not. It's more important in what state of mind I will die. It doesn't matter now or later.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, and do you think like this whole notion of like the mark of the beast sort of situation, like, do you think that that's the medication, or do you think that that's like they're literally going to put like chips in people and try to make it like a digital passport things, or like, you know, all your money on a chip inside your hand, or like, what do you think what does that mean when, like,
well, definitely I think it will be a stage thing. Probably the very mark of the beast will be probably the one world passport, Now they will have all kinds of certificates and things they put in you one after another, and then permit, and then they will give numbers and renumbering, and then passports, and everything will culminate in one big passport.
Mm-hmm.
The passport which the man out of the shadow will give to everybody. Well, now, will there be a visible stamp on the body with the passport or not? I think it doesn't matter. What matters is that what they are already giving is changing the psyche of many people. What other proof we want that this is along those lines, you know?
It's really weird because, like, I've been kind of quote unquote awake, whatever that means, but I guess you would say, like, how about this? I've been questioning my reality since at least 2012, and I'm 40, and I think what COVID did, like the last 3 years of BS stuff did for me, was just go like, oh wow, it was so much validation that we're controlled, that it was really hard to I think it's really hard to ever go back to completely being asleep. So I don't know. I don't think a lot of people can see that, though.
Yeah, that is the sad part. That is the sad part. After all the people who were killed by this thing, still they're continuing to take it and believe it's. And all these people, they will follow whatever they tell them, all the absurdities, you know. This is just the beginning. The madness will escalate unbelievably. This is just.
But I mean, I feel like that with so many things, like with politics. It's like it's the left and the right side of the same bird, or you have it doesn't matter how many times they're lied to. It's like, but they're telling the truth now. Like, the news can lie to you then, but this thing is the truth. Like, what they're telling you now, this one's true. So I have a hard time understanding how, like, almost the inability for people to learn. I don't know what's going on with that. And it does, that does sort of seem like a black magic spell. It's almost like I walked into Sleeping Beauty's den and the fairies had put everybody to sleep. It feels a lot like that sometimes.
Yeah, black magic.
I don't know, like, so you're not a Christian. I'm not a Christian either. I believe there's something, I don't know what. But so what do you think is like, have you taken a bunch of psychedelics? I've heard you talk about, like, ayahuasca.
Yeah, I've tried quite some of them. I haven't tried many, but ayahuasca I tried really a lot, like hundreds of times.
Oh, wow. Okay. I've only done it like twice. But so what do you think about those realms, or like when you are in a psychedelic state, like how do you integrate that into reality? Like, what do you think is going on with that? Because there's a lot of things that are, you know, like commonalities. Like, for instance, like, I know people who've mutually had the same experience, like seen the same thing while on the same thing. So I mean, I feel like it is its own kind of reality.
Well, I was into spiritual practices even before ayahuasca. And at the time, that was exactly 10 years ago, when before I tried it, I was at the point, and I reached there by meditation, I was feeling that I want to reach for the spiritual plane, but I was afraid that I will, like, cannot, like, I was stretching as if my hand, but I was afraid, what if the earth disappears before under my feet, something like that. That was the feeling. But after drinking so much ayahuasca, I understood what everybody in the wild tribes can tell you. That reality, what some people call dream world, that is more real by every definition than this three-dimensional gross thing, which most people call reality. And this one is just a product of that one. Now, after so much of this magic stuff entered in my body, you know, it now it is, I've swallowed so much of it that it's no longer sometimes of an experience. It has become a part of my being because of the sheer quantity. So I can see that that world is way more real, and only by fixing the problems there, the problems here can be fixed.
Huh, that's interesting. I also had the experience of, I did my very first time doing mushrooms, I did a heroic dose accidentally. And I felt like I was gone for 1,000 years. Like I still have more memories, like lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes of memories from that versus being here. So I definitely understand the more real thing. And I'm a lucid dreamer as well. I didn't know that everybody wasn't a lucid dreamer. I just thought that you could always control your dreams, like everybody could every night. Like that's how I was born. So I didn't really realize that that was not normal, or not, at least that's not the thing that everybody experiences. So I kind of see it as this is vacation, because I'm grounded. I'm in a body. I'm here. I'm at this moment. This is just I'm on vacation. Like there's not, like time is fixed and it's linear when I'm incarnated, like right here. When I'm in dreamland, it's like Bob's your uncle, man. Like who knows what's going to happen. Time is completely different and crazy and non-linear. And I know that that's, people say that, and it's hard to understand that if you haven't experienced it. That's why I often think about, maybe dreamland is where it's our more of our natural state, more of what's actually really real. And this is just, you know, some sort of kind of reoccurring experience we've agreed to have for a little bit. Maybe this really is a school.
Yeah. Yeah. And one other major change is, it's for me now, it feels so funny how all people are afraid of death. For example, when they say, oh, God saved me and I'm still alive. Like, for example, they had a heavy sickness, but they couldn't die from it. And they're like crippled all life. But they believe that it was pleasurable and lucky that they didn't die, because that's like unthinkable. Actually, it's if they have died, they would have much more fun, at least in short term, which they won't. You know, people are usually short-sighted, but they think that's unacceptable, like because they're just convinced that this is the end, or that beyond there is too dangerous.
Yeah, I think before I had done mushrooms, I would have fallen into that camp. I had got a wisdom tooth out and I had anesthesia, and I went completely black. Like there was no count back from 100. Okay. And then I was like 97. And then I woke up and I was like, are you guys going to start now? And it's like, yeah, you're already done. You're finished. You're good. And there was 3 or 4 hours where I went from boom, boom, boom. Just complete. There was no passage of time. And it so depressed me, because I thought like, oh, that's it. We're like a computer. When we die, it just turns off. It shuts off. That's it. I had a really hard time integrating that. And even now I'm kind of going, even if that's what happens, it's okay. Like everything is okay. It's all going to be okay. No matter what. If I do macro big picture, I think, like, let's say some people do go down like the sheeple path and they just follow the devil into, you know, Pied Piper off the cliff, the whole thing. I mean, in a way your soul is eternal. And so I think that, okay, well, that's how you played this video game, but like now you'll maybe learn lessons. And at some other time, some other, whenever hell, if there is such a thing or anything like that, whenever all that runs its course, you'll become energy again. That'll have another time to like play out other scenarios. I think it's just like an infinity of cycles of stuff that I don't know. I don't know if there really is such a thing as, I know there's paths I would prefer to take and versus what other people would or wouldn't, but I don't know that there's such thing as eternal damnation. What do you think about that?
I don't know the sources which I trust. I don't have any direct experience for my own, but yeah. The sources which I trust, some souls, they say the most evil souls, they may get destroyed in the sense that the energy is eternal, but sometimes, like, we recycle material, that energy can be recycled into different souls. And as far as going to hell forever, well, I've heard that also from reliable sources. Hopefully it's not true. I haven't seen. I've seen my soul go there for 3 lifetimes, and I wouldn't recommend even a short visit, what to speak of getting born. And for heavy mistakes, one can go for a long time in hell. Although life is shorter there still. Even I wouldn't go for excursion, what to speak of running the risk of getting bored there a few times.
To change shifts real quick, like, what now that you've looked back at everything, what do you think about star forts? Like, what do you think that they really are?
I really don't have anything new to say about star forts. You have seen the video. Mm-hmm. They seem to have some energy work which we don't fully understand. But is it exactly too many? I've seen too many people try to prove that, okay, they were harvesting exactly electricity because of they see some structures for energy work. But that's because for us, electricity is so important. Maybe they work with the other energies. So that's all I can say. I don't know. I don't know what exactly they did with the energy, but it's definitely an energy work structure.
And then I like how you're always talking about in your videos, like the monkeys that come from monkeys. These people with their all these monkeys. I love how you're always talking about that. It's so funny. But like, how do you see the evolution of humankind? Like, how does that play out in your head?
The evolution, what most people call in Darwinian sense, it simply never took place. The what is actually observed by scientists is that various species, they can adapt to the environment, but they don't turn from one species to another. That is not observed in nature. So we have only adaptation. As far as changing of the species itself, I think this is not done by our environment. This is done by the engineers of the universe, and some of us, also our souls, also in the dream world, some of us are on this level already to engineer the species itself from the dream plane. But it's not over time necessarily. I think it's more like devolution. Like first they launch the species, and then as the in the Vedas they call them yugas, like Satya Yuga, then Dvapara, Treta, now. So in every subsequent yuga there is devolution of the original prototype. So, and now we are at the end of this devolution cycle. So probably our generation will witness something very interesting, how from the damaged model, God will restore the original prototype. Exactly. So the evolution, we'll witness it. That's what I believe within a couple of decades.
Yeah, I definitely have heard a lot of people talk about how, like, there'll be a new human or a new kind of, you know, like this one shaman guy that I knew from Colombia, he says that the sixth race of man is being prepared and that they're only like 3 feet tall, like they're smaller, or, you know. Then I've heard some psychic people talk about how, well, like all the new kids that are going to be born are going to have more psychic abilities than we have, or there's going to be these like, you know, I don't know. It's gonna that'll be interesting to witness, to see if we really do get introduced to a new species of intelligence. That would be kind of cool. Even though
I think what we will notice very soon is all these implanted people, they will become more and more also what people call psychic. They will start talking to spirits, but unfortunately these spirits will be not very good in most cases, in 99% of the cases. So even ordinary people, I think they will be getting more and more psychic within this decade, mm-hmm. tangibly more psychic, and they will start throwing amazing technologies, like to distract our attention while they steal the souls of the people. They will entertain them with gadgets. So I think that this decade will be very, very interesting, probably also in the beginning of the next one. And then in the next decade, at some point, I don't know, in the beginning or in the middle.
Like in the 2040s, or you'd mean like in the 2030s?
Yeah, in the 2030s, then people, those who are still alive, will start coming back to their senses and understand that the electric gadgets are not needed, because with psychic white magic, one can accomplish the same thing much faster and painlessly. All this electric equipment for all kinds of things is just redundant. And not only redundant, but kind of a really wrong path to follow, so that they can control the people.
Yeah, I keep on thinking that telepathy is coming back, and I got to clean up my thoughts. but I actually do a lot of exercises for trying to train my telepathic muscle. You know, I work a lot. Like if I see an animal, or like even like I have like nieces and nephews, I always am practicing with them. Meaning like how I do it. I don't know if there's a right or wrong way to do it, because it's all, you know, whatever. No one really knows exactly. But like I just I send every sense in a thought. Like I send a color. I usually do numbers or colors or something with my nieces and nephews, and then, you know, I'll send, you receive, or you receive and I send, or whatever, vice versa. Like it'll say, if you were going to send the color pink, you would give them cotton candy and see what that tastes like. You would see the kitten's nose. You would experience like a fluffy pink pillow, or like whatever you can think of in your brain. So you're creating a movie, not just like the word pink, but you're creating like a visualization, like an all whatever senses you can express to it, and you're putting it into a big thought bubble and then projecting it onto them. And more often than not, if you really take enough time to like build that up, they get it right more often than they get it wrong. So that's really interesting. And I think like with animals, if I don't want a bug to be in my house or something, I'll show it like, hey, if you stay in here, you're going to not find food and shrivel up and die. Or if you go outside, you're going to live longer and it's going to be more awesome for you. Like if you can show it like in a fast way, like if you can project two different images, more often than not, it'll run out of the house or something, you know? So working on these muscles, like these exercises, I think might help everybody in the future. I don't know if there's going to be conditions that happen to where it just pops on though. Otherwise, how are we going to get better with it?
When the entire earth changes, but I think it will be gradual, or, well, according to the prophecies, it may also become sudden. These senses may open suddenly towards the end of the tribulation. We'll see.
Yeah,
but I think you're doing it the right way. Yeah.
Let's talk about the conditions of the earth, because like, I mean, I've heard you mention in a couple of your videos, just like the stones could have been lighter. The things could, I agree with that. I think time could, I often think about time is just basically it's relative to where we are in our rotation to the sun and how the distance and like all these conditions. Right. And there's no guarantee that these conditions have always been the same. So I think the fact that we can find ginkgo leaves bigger than my body is maybe because like they're the like time worked differently, or the magnetic, like our magnetism or our gravity or what forces on. I don't think the conditions of physics have always been set in stone within the planet. So you kind of have alluded to that with some constructions of like megalithic stuff. You're saying that they would have experienced, like, these would have been more etheric beings that could have you know, move, like the stone could have been putty and things like this before, or it could have been way lighter or something. So how do you frame that in your mind now?
It's just a possibility. Like somebody told me there was a whatever scientific, as they call it, research that at that time the atmosphere and the entire notion of weight must have been different. Otherwise, the dinosaurs couldn't carry their bodies and their head would drop. So maybe it was lighter at that time. I see no reason to say that was exactly the case, but there are so many things like this that could have been different. And one of the reasons for which I am kind of holding back from historic research, it's not the main one, but it's one of the reasons, is that I think this approach of trying to, you know, to find out by expeditions, it's at this point is no longer suitable. Of course, they will restrict travel, or travel is already restricted. I'm already avoiding their hotels because of the shedding. I'd avoid going to hotels, and I'm quite reserved about restaurants as well, for the same reason. The thing is, when I believe that Christ is born in human form, and when he reveals himself towards the end of the tribulation, or even before that, the true history, he will reveal it. So we don't have to find it experimentally. It will be told to us. So I think it's much more advantageous for me to spend my time in spiritual practices at the moment than trying to figure out the history. It's also too many unknown factors, too many.
I guess there's also no way. I get back to that. I mean, I still am obsessed with trying to figure out what went on here, but it is like trying to build a puzzle with four pieces, and it's a 1,000-piece puzzle. So it's kind of hard to ever get real validation on anything too. You know, it's like, even if you can come up with a theory, there's no way to validate whether it was correct or not, you know? So I could see, the futility in something like that. But yeah, okay. So then, if you like spiritually, that whole thing, what do you think of the whole concept of one, like everybody's like from one source or one thing, like oneness? Do you agree with that or not?
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely, yes. But this will be very much misused and twisted by the Antichrist. Exactly, that's why his people have been funding a lot this type of ideas, which have a seed of truth in them, but the twist and the decoration at the end, you know, they will, the main thing they have twisted is that, you see, life is for enjoyment and not for suffering, which by itself is true. But the ways that they will do it is that they will make it look like that only those who take the passport will have access to instant enjoyment, because life is to be enjoyed and instantly. You cannot wait a few hours, and after the people take the passport in a few weeks, they are not going to enjoy them as well because of psychological problems. They will see that there is no enjoyment for them. And those who did not go for the enjoyment offer, they will enjoy a really long time. And the others will remain with the promises. And those who follow that path, they will be bamboozled by what you said is true, but the way it is, you know, also like, our thoughts determine this material reality. That is true. But the way they turn that into politics is to present it as if it means anything you imagine is true and your opinion should be whatever anybody imagined, they can, they have the right to do so. There is nothing wrong to imagine. We are all creators. And whatever you believe, it will just come true. So if you are free, you can take any vaccine or anything and you will be fine just because you imagine this type of twisting. Well, the way our thoughts form our reality is that everything we think, even from the past, it's a sum accumulative of our thoughts of many lives. What actually happens in the three-dimensional world, it's not instant. They put an instant interpretation to everything, and it's impossible to argue with such people. And I try to point them the writings which put the beginning of this entire thing, creating with one thought. This is the Jane Roberts material. But they will never read the books. They only stick to the 1 minute interpretation that whatever I imagine, it will come through. And it's just a bit of question of time. And I don't need to worry because if it was really like that, bad things would not happen to anybody. Nobody wants to get sick or obviously right. It doesn't work. But these people, they continue and there will be more and more of them. And they will think this is spirituality. And yes, everything is one. Even the devil is created by God from one source, but they will not like it. They will not like the end. And I already see that.
I try to do a lot of timeline shifting myself, or like try. It's almost a little bit too Joseph Campbell-y story, like of what ends up happening during the COVID bullshit. I don't like this. I don't want to do this. When this needs to end, like it needs to not happen again. So like, I really try to focus on how to remove the black magic fuckery from the manipulation of everybody to follow in the path. It just would be so nice if we didn't have this predetermined doom path. I think that would be just way cooler to witness than walking into a light, like a moth to a flame.
Well, there is one prophecy from Trok Vyacheslav. He sent towards the end, for the real people, it will be very, very boring because all these cyborgs, they will be so programmed, it will be just pointless to talk to them. And real people will be very, very few. He said it will be a rarity to meet a human. Now we don't appreciate our neighbor, but they are still human, more or less. Mm-hmm. At that time, there will be no human left to even talk to. And so I don't think the big masses can be saved. I mean, they already made their choice.
Yeah.
So I don't see what can turn these people away. I really don't see.
Yeah, I don't either. But unless there's like a solar flash that takes out the TVs and the media for them, that might actually do them more good than harm in the long run. Like that could really take away some of their control system.
Yeah. That is why this, now they have this gradual plan into turning us, of cyborgs and stuff. But that's why... during the tribulation, God sends some extra natural disasters and their grid is destroyed. In the Bible, they say Babylon is destroyed by the natural disaster. That's probably New York or something like that. And they rebuild it, but that is also destroyed at the end when everything is destroyed.
I think about it like the internet is the Tower of Babel, and the Tower of Babel eventually gets destroyed. So I think if history repeats itself at all, like I don't think that this Tower of Babel is going to be able to. I mean, the Tower of Babel supposedly was a tower that would allow everybody to speak the same language and communicate. Like, well, that's what the internet is, right? And so eventually that, I feel like, we can't guarantee that we're going to have this forever.
Yeah, I've been de-interneting myself since a couple of years, 2-3, very actively. Before it was always on. Then three years ago, I removed it from the room, from my living room. And gradually, now I'm at the point where I put it on once a week or so. I read email on the phone, but I don't keep the phone in the room. I keep it in the corridor. I don't take it to the garden, where I'm mostly to be found. So, and...
I need to get better at that. Like, I turn it off at night, but I make a concerted effort to at least like 3 or 4 times a year, like whenever I go on like my own little expeditions, like I basically am like, sometimes I go to like Wi-Free or, you know, no cells for service, Wi-Fi free, like just like no way to get in contact. Don't die this week, because if you die this week, I won't be able to come to your funeral. So just leave me alone for this week, you know. And it's so amazing how better you feel when you have like these huge breaks from the all this stuff.
Yeah. And now that I'm kind of, I've had the withdrawal from this technology, when I use it, I immediately feel like the waves, the physical pain. If I touch like the phone, I have pain in the fingers if I hold it for too long.
Yeah, I have a good friend who has EHS, like electrohypersensitivity or whatever, and he's very challenged electrically with stuff. He lives in Sweden, and he's not able to. He's never had a cell phone. He can't handle, I mean, or I guess he has at one point, like, but he hasn't had a cell phone in like 6 or 7 years. And he has to have all these protection things if he talks to you on his computer. And like, yeah, it's a very, he said it has to have limited electronics time. And I think like when I started researching that through him, there's a lot of people that have kind of started getting real physical, I don't know, you could call it an allergy. I don't know if you would call it that though, but like they've been getting physical effects from just the amount of electricity that we have flowing in our environments all the time.
Yeah. Well, it was harming me even before, but because I had it every day, I didn't know how much is it from it, and how much if I work too much, or when one is, you know, constantly on some, let's say, bad drug, one cannot say, you know, what exactly it does, because one has other problems as well. But now that I'm off this addiction, really, actually, that's what it is, I see it is just not worth having it. And I make less videos only, and they're only for helping the people who have decided to remain humans. That's all.
Well, thank you for doing that. That's really cool. And I like, you have some stuff about, like, I watched your one about soap recently that you just put up, and I was like, okay, I'm going to try to do the soap thing. Like, so yeah, you definitely have a bunch of like stuff about plants and things that I think are, they're really helpful knowledge things to have in your, you know, your toolbox inside your brain. So that's a really helpful thing that you do.
Yeah.
Okay, Miss Sylvie. This has been really, really, really fun. I am so happy that you gave me the time and talked to me. Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you maybe want to just say?
My channel was way more popular when I was doing the historic things, because that was more fascinating, you know, all these theories for giants and fairies. And now it has less viewers also because of the shadow banning. But yeah. I think what I publish now is actually more important. Just there are less people who are interested in these things, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, I my channel has, I've been going for almost 4 years, and it's I don't know, I don't want to be like all woo, but yeah, I totally feel like I'm shadow banned for a long time, but like whatever, Like, I have to just, it's really, for me, it's about, I get to have cool conversations with people like you, you know? So I don't really necessarily care so much if anybody else likes it, as long as I'm having a good conversation and I can record it. And if those that have eyes to see and ears to hear want to hear it, cool. Like, that's, if they can receive something from what I'm doing, then awesome. If they don't, then that's on them. That's cool. Whatever. It's like, just, so, I mean, I kind of feel like with you, it's like, yeah, I mean, I do love your old stuff too, though. You did some really good sleuthing. Like, you, I mean, I haven't seen, like, when I was like going through like Etruscan stuff and like your Malta expedition and all stuff, you have done stuff that I've never seen anybody else do. Like, you're really thorough, so I appreciate, and I, you know, that you went through and pointed out things that other people had never pointed out. So, you know, but I understand that this phase of life that you're in now is not, it's, you're done sleuthing around, you're ready to do a different kind of research, and that's valid too. And I think that those that have ears to hear and eyes to see will see it, so that's great.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, so this is super fun, and thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity.
So, yeah, bye.
Bye-bye.